Amen. Turn the Bible tonight to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Right after you go by Psalms and you'll see Isaiah and you'll see Jeremiah, and right there it'll be Ezekiel right in there. We'll turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 tonight. Ezekiel 37. It's kind of right there before you get to Daniel. It's a big old book there, the prophet Ezekiel. You remember we finished those kings. We went through those kings. I told you Daniel got carried off into captivity. So when we finished Chronicles in Sunday school, Daniel went over in. You pick up with Daniel. That's the tail end of what happened in the kings. And then while they're in captivity, he's got Ezekiel there preaching to them while they're in captivity. And then God really used Ezekiel, and he preached, and they didn't want to hear nothing he had to say. He used Jeremiah was during that time. Those people had some powerhouse preachers, Ricky, preaching to them in the Old Testament. And you say, man, if they had those powerhouse preachers, you'd think they would have got something. Well, they're just like us. We're so full of pride. And what pride is just simply this. Pride is our unwillingness to admit that we're wrong about anything. That's pride. Just total, just unwillingness to admit that we've been wrong about anything. And we get that way, and that's the way these people were. But there's a real good portion of Scripture right here you may have heard preached about, talked about before in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The Bible said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." He put him out there in a valley full of bones. "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So they'd been there a while. These bones had been there a while. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Don't that seem kind of foolish to prophesy to a bunch of dead, dried up bones? "Then saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh come upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So they came together, but they were just standing there. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 37, this prophet is prophesying. You remember in Sunday school, the reason I said that before I read the text was, you remember in Sunday school, us going through the book of Kings, and after David was Solomon. Remember Solomon, his son David? Well, what happened after Solomon? After Solomon died, then his two sons, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, got in a little scuffle, got in a little fight with each other. And they split Israel into two halves. And we've been studying the northern half of Israel and the southern half of Israel. And the northern half of Israel had not one good king in the whole thing. And they got carried off into captivity. Well, the southern tip of Israel, which was known as Judah in your Bible, they had a pretty good few little good kings in it. And God sent prophets there like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And God had Isaiah there during the time of Manasseh preaching to that crowd. And they never would get it. So God said, listen, because you're very disobedient, because this is happening, I'm going to cause you to be carried off by the Babylonians. And so Gobel, they all got carried off by the Babylonians, and they never again became together as a nation. They went from the Babylonian captivity, they went to the Greeks, Alexander the Great came along and ruled over them, then the Roman Empire came and ruled over them. They never ever became a nation again, Brother Ricky, until 1948. That's when this prophecy that Ezekiel said, now some people don't believe that, but they say, how can you not read the Bible and see where God has Israel in this thing? But in 1948, something happened, Brother Goebel, that God saw in His providence and saw in His way, had those Jews placed back in Israel. And that's why you see all the news on right now about all the hatred for the Jewish people and all these things in this own country, one attack after the other, since they was placed in that land in 1948. God brought them together. From this prophecy right here that was prophesied 3,600 years ago, God brought them all together into one land and in one place in 1948. And you know who the first vote was to vote them in? It was Russia that voted them in, because a lot of Jews were in Russia and Russia wanted them out. So Russia put them all out there in 1948. And the second vote was the United States of America. But they had to put them over in their own land. It was just a wasteland then. And they put them over there. And those Jews began to figure out key and how to irrigate water. And that place began to get fertile. And after that, well, they struck oil over there. And of all that place in the Middle East, there's no country as fruitful and as blessed as the nation of Israel. You reckon that's by accident? Or you reckon we ought to believe the Bible tonight? So that's in context of what Ezekiel is talking about tonight, is a prophecy coming together. That's why you're seeing all this stuff happening in your world today. You think, brother, why are all these people against the Jews? Why all this hatred against the Jewish people? And why all these riots and unrest in our own country about something that's happening away overseas? It's Bible prophecy tonight. Satan hates the Jewish people. Satan hates the nation of Israel. And that's what you're seeing right before you. But I want to look at this something else tonight another way. And not only is this, brother, a prophecy of what was to come, and it's already happened right before our very eyes in 1948. And people just yawn at that. Boy, God's smart, ain't He? And God's word is true. But I want you to look at this another way tonight, as a parable tonight. And God's showing us something else here tonight about something that was dead and something that happened where somebody was resurrected from the dead, where there became a revival in that place where some dead bones was at, or the salvation of a sinner right there where some dead bones was at, or how a church or a community or a nation would get stirred up right where this dead bones was at. And the Bible said in verse 1 that the hand of the Lord was upon me. God always works through human instrumentality tonight. God always uses men and women to perform His work. You might not be able to preach. You might can't sing. But we all can pray. And we all can be where we're at. And we all can be faithful in whatever place that God has put us in. We all got a mouth. We all got influence now over somebody. Somebody's looking to us. And that's where it starts at. But Ezekiel, his hand was upon him. And look what he does, Brother Randall. He takes Ezekiel and he shows him the very condition of those bones. He shows them right where they're at. And he shows them the condition. Brother, we need to wake up and open our eyes up into the condition of the people that's around us. They ain't just coming in here good people. There's none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. We don't even want God. We don't even understand God. We don't even seek after God. God's got to come and seek us. God's got to come and reveal himself to us. But we got to know the very condition. We say, well, we live in Pike County. Good old people around here. They're as wicked here as the year in New York City. They're as wicked around here as San Francisco. We live in a wicked, a crooked generation. And he says, Ezekiel, I'm going to show you the very condition of the people that you're going to preach to. They're dead, brother. And they're dried up out there. And they're laying there. Listen, no doubt. Ezekiel thought, Lord, what in the world can I do with these bones? It's the same thing with me tonight. I can preach, brother. I can preach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to my gallbladder Ricky hangs out my ears. But listen to me. Unless God does something in a man or woman's heart, a boy or girl's heart, it'll just be nothing. Because God's got to take that word and sow it in your dead heart and bring you life. That's how and why you get saved tonight. Amen. He's showing him the condition of these. For in Adam, the Bible said, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen to me, I said this before. We've got little babies all over the place here. And if they were to die right now, John Boy, little Coco is just as good as God wants him to be. But in these little babies, a little Bailey Noel back there is as good as God wants her to be. She's innocent. But in her nature, she's got a sin nature that was passed on to her from her daddy. And he got it from his daddy and from his daddy. And who is our daddy? Our daddy's Adam. All have fallen in Adam. And that's the very condition of mankind tonight, brother. If mankind ain't good, he ain't evolving, he's devolving. He's getting worse. And God is showing Ezekiel the very nature and the condition, brother. The only thing that's going to help Pike County, brother Ricky, it ain't a big singing, it ain't a big dinner, no. The only thing that's going to help Pike County is for God to put his hand on a preacher somewhere and then wear back and preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. He shows him the condition. The Bible said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Nothing that we can do in the flesh pleases God. In the flesh, Paul said in Romans 7:18, in the flesh what dwelleth? No good thing. There's not one good thing dwells in your flesh. You think, well, what's my flesh? That's that nature that you carried around. Let me tell you something else. When you got saved, brother, your flesh did not get saved. God imparted his spirit unto you and enabled you to walk and live this Christian life. But you've got two natures in you. You've got a flesh nature and you got a spiritual nature. And whichever one you feed the most will dominate in your life. If you feed your flesh all week long and try to get something on a 30-minute message, you ain't going to make it. You've got to feed your spiritual person all day long if you're going to make it in this life. Because all the time that you live, you're going to have your flesh try to war against you, brother. Try to get you to ruin and mar your testimony. I'm trying to tell you the condition that we are in, amen. Dead. Dead. He said, they ain't no hope for them. They're dead. Now look what Ezekiel says. God says, Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? So, Ken, he shows him the condition. Then he says, hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? There's a question mark there. The Bible said, and I answered. I believe Ezekiel's like me and you. I look at some, I say, ain't no way. There ain't no way he can get right with God. There ain't no way she can get right with God. There ain't no way God do anything with that. Amen? Because that's the truth. He said, can these bones live? And here's what Ezekiel said. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. What's he saying to us tonight when he's saying that? He's saying, Lord, if they're going to live, it's going to have to take something supernatural. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine him looking there, Brother Glenn, at a big valley full of just dry, dead bones, dry bones, Isaac. They laid there a long time and got dried up, brother. And I believe they was discomfited all over the place. I believe they had one foot here and one over there and a jawbone over there. They was disorganized all they can be. Just like a man or woman's life, it's lost. It ain't never put together. Ain't nothing ever gets right in their life. Why? Because they're not right, brother. They're dry and they're dead and discomfited. He said, oh, Lord, only thou knowest. It's going to have to take a supernatural work of God to make this done. Here's what the Bible said in Romans 9:16, Brother Randall. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You can will it all you want. You can shake hands and get baptized, put your name on church books all you want. But unless God showeth mercy, unless God doth the work, brother, it's all in vain, brother, because you're dead in your nature. We're born that way, brother. And it has to be a new creation, created in us, for us to be alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and in sin. Bible says in John 1:12 this, Brother Randall, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Ezekiel said, God, if these bones are going to get up, if these bones are going to do anything, it's going to have to come through and by a supernatural work of God. A new creation's got to happen. A new birth's got to happen. A resurrection has got to happen. Some say we need revival in the church. No, we need some resurrections in the church, brother. We need some people woke up from a dead state unto a lively hope. And he said, hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Well, God, what are you going to do to get the dead bones up? Well, we get the dead bones down here and we can put a bunch of pretty clothes on them and get them smelling good and get them carrying a Bible. They're still going to be dead bones. Amen.
Yeah.
There got to be something happened to them bones. And it's something that Ezekiel can't do, Ricky. It's something that you can't do and I can't do. It's something I don't have the power to do. Amen. God's got to bring them in and God's got to do this. Well, how does God do this thing, Brother Kevin? I'm getting ready to show you. He said unto thee in verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Look what happens in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. So what did God do to get these bones alive? He showed Ezekiel just exactly what he was working with, didn't he? He showed him the condition of these bones and the state that they was in. Then he got Ezekiel to the point thinking that he couldn't do nothing for these bones. Listen, there's nothing I can do for people. I can't save people. I can't get people right, brother. All I can do is preach and love you and encourage you and show you the Word of God. But if God don't do something inside your heart, if God don't do it, listen, it don't matter what I do or say. I'm not going to aggravate you to death to come to church or nothing else, brother. I said this to Mom before church starts. If the Word of God preached and taught, Brother Goble, I can't get them into church, brother, I sure ain't going to aggravate nobody to come in and push nobody. It's got to be a God inside of somebody. And how did he do that, brother? Brother Ricky, he commanded Ezekiel to go out and preach to them bones. Amen. Kenny told him to go preach to them bones. You say, well, that sounds awful foolish. Well, the Bible said the foolishness of preaching, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. You say, Brother Kevin, you ever preach to a bunch of dry dead bones? Yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah. I preach to a lot of dead, dry bones. I preached in dry bone Baptist churches before, Brother Goble. I mean, hey, dead as they can be. Hey, he's ice skating up and down the aisle. So dead, brother. I'd about paid somebody to come to an altar, Brother John Boy.
and stir that crowd up. Hey, listen to me. But he told him to go out in that valley and go out and preach to a bunch of dry and dead bones. Why? Because that's God's method right there for bringing somebody up, for bringing somebody alive that's in a dead state. That's the way God prescribed his method. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Did you get that? He said, "For it is the power of God." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation." What's that mean, Brother Kevin? That word power, it means the word dynamite. You know what dynamite does? It tears things up, don't it? It creates something new. It tears something up. And when that gospel's preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, it'll find a larger place and begin to tear things up inside a man's heart. Amen. Ricky said in Romans 10:17, y'all hear me say this every time we meet, "So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm going to have more faith, Brother Kevin, will come in here, come ready to hear.
Yeah.
Come ready to hear, praise God. Come ready to hear, not looking around who sees who's here and who ain't. But come ready to hear. I tell people, listen, when a man preaches, just focus right on him and sing that song that we got in them hymn books on page 92. Just a little talk with Jesus will make things right. If you say, "God, I'm here, preach to me," God will put something on that man's heart and put something in his mouth, in his study. And God will preach to you and increase your faith, and it'll help you. But you got to be here to get it, amen. So then by faith, coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul said, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But what it pleased God by the what? A foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God chose this preaching right here to go out and to get a hold of people's hearts and to wake dead people up and bring them life by the prayer of God. That's why God chose this, brother. He calls a man, he shows a man, and he tells a man, brother, be bold in it. He said, "Go out and preach to them old dry bones." Amen. I believe Ezekiel was bold in it, wasn't he? He said, "They're very dry." We need some good bold preaching, don't we? Amen. We need somebody to stand up and tell us the truth. Ezekiel got up and told them the truth. He didn't dance around, brother. He didn't move the pulpit out, Glenn, and put a stool up and get out and share. Listen, I'm telling you what. We need people to get up this day and hour in which we live, brother, and just draw back Isaac and preach it just like it is, straight to men and women just like they are, in love. Brother, I'm telling you, God will do something, Brother Randall, with the preached word of God. It'll get at somebody's heart. It'll sift it out what needs to be here and what don't need to be here. God knows what he's doing through a preacher and preaching the word of God. Amen.
Amen. That's true.
He says in James 1:18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Look what happens right here. "So I prophesied, and as I was commanded," in verse 7, "and as I prophesied, as I preached," something happened. "There was a noise." Do you see that in your Bible? "And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." So he began to preach, and the Bible said when he began to preach, they became a noise. They became a noise, and a shaking began to happen. What in the world does that mean, brother? I believe, Brother Glenn, as he's out there preaching them bones, they started rattling, they started moving. He said, "Hey, there's something happening in them bones." I believe that represents conviction now that goes out on somebody's life. You don't get saved apart from the convicting power of God Almighty. What's that, brother? When God begins to convict you, not of sins, but of sin, the Bible says, and of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Why? Because all have sinned, brother, and conviction begins to show you just what you and I are before a thrice holy God in heaven. It begins to convict us of righteousness. What's that mean, righteousness? That shows us how we are to get right with God, and to warn us of judgment that is to come. Amen. That's what conviction does, and it's a noise. It's a noise. If you look that word noise up, it's a funny word. That word noise is kin to the word praise. That's what it is, kin to the word praise. And it said, and behold, it's shaking. And the bones came together. That begins to be a conviction that begins to shake him, and God begins to shake things up. What did God do in Acts chapter 16? When they began to sing and make praises unto God, the prison that they was in began to shake. The very doors of the prison busted open right there. And the foundation was shaken. And all their bonds fell off of them. But they didn't run nowhere. Why? Because they was locked down by the power of the convicting power of Almighty God. It began to shake them up where they was at. There was a commotion right there in that place, brother. And things began to come together with these bones. Amen. Ain't that what the Spirit of God does? You start getting under preaching, Brother Keehan, and you get under conviction, things begin to shake up in your life, and then God begins to put some things together, don't He, in your life. He begins to put things together because He's getting ready to breathe life into you. Now listen, it's a dangerous thing for people to withdraw when God's convicting them. And I've seen people do it in this church. I've seen people do it since I've been preaching. Withdraw from the convicting power of Almighty God. When God's convicting them, they just draw off of that thing and go the wrong way. Then they lose all total desire for the things of God. They lose all total desire to want to be saved or anything else. Why? Because they've yielded to their own flesh nature. And when God was moving with them, Ricky, to be saved, God was moving your old stubborn will now because you don't want to do it. So God begins to move your old stubborn will. And God begins to persuade you and convince you through conviction that you were where you're supposed to be. But even in that, God's not going to hold a gun to nobody's head. But God begins to move and draw and persuade. And it's at that time that a man, woman, boy, or girl can get saved and get things right with God. Apart from that time, you can preach and preach and preach and sing and sing and sing and tell graveyard stories, brother. But until God moves that way, they'll stay in that dead shape. They'll stay in that dead condition, brother, and die and go to hell, amen. That's right. That's what conviction is. They began to make a noise. They began to shake, and the Bible said, bone came together, bone to his bone. God began to put things together in their life. Drew sang that song about that precious blood. It's able to put your broken home together, your wayward son, your wayward daughter. God's precious blood. God's able to put things together. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But his prescribed method is to get somewhere where he's preaching God's word. And everybody stands up, dear people, ain't a preacher. Amen. You know, got enough sense to know that, don't you? Hey, man, he's preaching God's word. And the Bible said, and when I beheld in verse 8, he said, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was a problem there. But there was no breath in them. So things began to get right. Things began to get put together. Things began to get where they need to be. But they didn't have no breath in them. Listen to me. People can go to rehab and people can get their lives turned around and all that, but they can't live for God unless the breath comes in them. Are you listening? Yeah. You can't walk with God. You can't do for God unless God enables you to do that. I can't preach week after week. I can't study and have messages week after week. I can't walk a Christian life, brother, in the power of my flesh, week after week, listen, I got something enabling me inside of me, brother, and giving me the desire and the want to and the mind to do it. You know what that is? That's the breath of God. Now, somebody can come in and they can look right and act right, and it seems that everything's coming together in their life. But, brother, let me tell you something. They can't make it long because walking a Christian walk in the power of your flesh is drudgery. It's work. It's hard. It's miserable. But when you get the breath of God in you, He puts a life down in you, a joy down in you, a desire down in you. God puts His breath in you and enables you to do what you need to do for God. Amen. Anybody can come and get things put together in their life. Anybody can come and really have a will and some And some people got better determination than others, and that's great. But you can't walk for God and live for God and witness for God consistently, Goble, for any length of time without the enabling power of God. But he says this, Ricky, in verse 8, but there was no breath in them. Now he tells him to do something else in 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. What's he doing, Brother Kevin? He's doing two things that's going to have to, we're going to have. We're going to have to see people saved. If we're going to have to see people get resurrected from the dead, the first thing that he did was preach. And then he went prophesied to the wind. That's praying. He went preach to these people. They began to get things put together in the right life. Then God told him to go pray. You know what we need to do? We need to pray and for the man to preach. If you'll pray for me to preach Sunday, I'll come in here and preach something. I'm telling you, it'll be something that'll really help you. If you say, I really need some direction for God. If you'll pray, old preacher, I'll come and give it to you. Because God sees you want it, and God sees I want to preach it, and God will do that for you in your life. He'll do it for somebody else. But that's two things that raises people up from the dead. He shows them their condition. He shows you what you're preaching to. Then he says, go out and preach to them bones out there. And then you pray. And look here in the Bible, said in verse 10, so I prophesied, he commanded me in the breath. I came into them and they lived and stood up upon their feet. An exceeding great army. Hey, when God put his breath in them, not only was they standing up, brother, they was getting on the move for God. And when God puts in you, puts in life in you, brother, you'll get up and get doing something for God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to skip down there and show you something. The Bible said in verse 13 and 14, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. God will put you somewhere where you need to be. You get saved, God will put you in a church where you need to be. If you obey him and listen to him. People call and they'll say, what kind of church you got down there? I said, well, you got a church that preaches, teaches God's word. Love you. Oh, what you got down there for kids? I say, preaching, teaching God's word. Nothing. What you got down there for women? Preaching, teaching God's word. Just down there loving you. What you got down there for the men? Preaching, teaching God's word. Just loving you. Well, we're going to try this like you're trying out a new car or something all the time. But you get saved, God will put you in a church somewhere. Amen? Well, y'all believe in this now. I said, you just come. You get saved. You just come. And you let God speak to you through the book. And you'll start believing right. If you get submitted and get right with God, you'll learn something. Amen? Well, you think y'all won't know something. No. That's the first sign. Listen. That's the first sign somebody ain't ready to go anywhere with God. They'll humble down and get under authority, won't they? Amen? Amen. Look what God says here, Drew. He said, I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Kevin? He gets all the way down to verse 14. And who gets the glory for every bit of this? Does Ezekiel get any glory for any of this whatsoever? No. Does the bones get any glory for this whatsoever? No. Listen, who got all glory for this? God got all the glory for every bit of this. Amen. And when God does something in somebody's life, and God's got such a way of doing this thing, brother, where he'll orchestrate it where only he gets all the glory in it. And if man or a church building gets any kind of glory out of it, then it ain't of God, brother. But when God gets all the glory out of it, and somebody gets right with God, and truly walking with God, brother, God will get all the glory. For the Bible said that Jesus Christ shall receive the preeminence or the top seat in the church of God. Not no preacher now. Not a church name or a sign out there. But it's the preached word that God uses and prayer. And God brings them bones together, Brother Ricky. Then he puts a life into them through his spirit, energizing them, enabling them to walk with God. Amen. Let's stand tonight.